Can You Confirm That? Is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
One of those just got it to pee kind of things?
No, sometimes I wake. Yeah.
You're just up.
I go to bed early, and sometimes if I do wake up, it's been like I've slept for 5 hours already, so it's hard to go back to sleep right away.
Okay, that's fair. 5 hours. I'm going to do some math here. So that means you're in bed by what? 9?
Yeah.
8? Even in some cases there?
Sometimes.
Wow. Okay. You get to bed before my kids do.
Yeah, man. I'm built different.
Yeah, you are.
Plus Productions proudly presents Can You Confirm That? Starring Gaurav Wander, John Brown. Welcome to Can You Confirm That, everybody? How's it going this week? We are back again with another one. Series 3, episode 26 of Can You Confirm That? You can check us out at www.cyctpod.com. And you can check out the other 125 episodes there just for a short time because season one is going to be leaving us soon. If you're new to our channel and to our show, welcome aboard. And everybody else, how are you doing this week?
Interactive.
Yeah. We want to make sure feel like they're in their living room with them.
You just remember the poll feature that we can use or something on Spotify? You're like, oh, shit, I might as well ask everybody how they're doing today. Since you asked, I'm great.
Good. I'm glad you are, too. Yeah? How was your week?
Goodness. I think I'd be prepared for that question. You ask it every week. It was fine? I don't know. I think it was busy. It just all blended into one. And so I think that's better than not. Right? I think that's a good week. A good week is a week when you don't remember anything of... I don't know. If you don't remember the traumas a week later, you've been all right.
Right? That's right. It all just blends in, right?
I'm sure there was some things. I'm sure there was some lady who was driving erratically that bugged me. I'm sure there was laundry that didn't properly dry in the dryer, all those things. But like, if you just, you know what I mean? If you're dwelling,
if you're not bitching about something, are you really living? You know,
that's true too. Well, that would tell you, cause I wasn't bitching about anything. I couldn't tell you how my last week was. There you go.
You know, when time flies by, it's cause nothing's pissed you off lately enough. Yeah.
You need to keep that angry temperament just so you can actually enjoy life.
You know, I was thinking about some of our favorite episodes, and one of our favorite themes is the ruining of a classic movie or show.
Oh yeah, that's come up a few times, and I don't know if it's one of our favorites as much as it is your favorite to ruin one of my classics for me. You know what I mean?
But this week I want to do it a little different. This episode is a little different because I want to ruin a classic, but I kind of want the classic to bite back. I don't dislike this one. I don't have any problem with it. It's just that, and we're not even really ruining it, but society has kind of ruined it for us.
Okay.
So this week I want to...
Like Seinfeld and help. The kids can't get over the fact that every episode would have been solved with a cell phone.
That's right. So this week I want to talk about Billy Madison. Remember that movie?
Madison. Yes, from our youths. Don't age us like that, but yes.
Can you recite half of the movie? Because I know I can.
You know me in quotes. I'm not great with them unless they're like in books. But my favorite one was always the sometimes I feel like an idiot, but I am an idiot, so it kind of works out. I always felt like that was one that kind of hit me directly.
Well, I mean, it was in the my generation's heyday of Adam Sandler, our opinion of his, it was the Weezer Pinkerton Sandler version that we all
loved. Yeah, it was the Happy Hanukkah version. This was prime. Okay, I would not to say that it was a bad thing, but this was before Paul Thomas Anderson got his hands on it, right? Before the Punch Drunk Love, before like he started believing he could do things he didn't believe he could do before. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
So that era of Adam Sandler.
It's before he had self confidence.
Yeah, exactly.
See, it'll ruin you.
It'll ruin it. Too much of it goes too far sometimes.
So it's fresh in my mind. I watched it this weekend.
Okay.
How much do you remember of the plot?
Enough. I remember he was kind of, like, didn't they? Actually, I guess it was ahead of its time, if you think about it in one way. Like, you want to say, like, if I was to put this on for my kids right now and be like, hey, watch Billy Madison, I think they would look at that first plot point and kind of be like, hey, are they making fun of Paris Hilton? But then you kind of be like, oh no, this was before, right? Like, this is like, how did they know? I guess it's always just existed. But yeah, basic premise, I remember like going back to school, having to do that so that he could get his money.
So the deeper story, that's the basic premise totally. The deeper story is that Adam Sandler's character, Billy, he was going to be given his father's company. He owns a chain of hotels, 6,000 employees or something like that. And he decides that, you know, Billy shouldn't be in charge of all those careers and, you know, all those people's livelihoods. So the like second in command, Eric, is going to get the company, and Billy wants to earn his right to his father's inheritance and legacy. And so he says, hey, what about all the grades I got in high school? And his dad's like, oh, I paid off all your teachers to give you good grades. And he said, well, if I can go back to school and do each grade for 2 weeks and I can pass, will you leave your company to me? So they all decide that that's what they'll do, which is a stupid premise, but it's honorable, the fact that he wants to earn his place in the world, and he wants to go back to school to prove that he can better himself, quit his habit of partying and stuff like that. You know, show his dad that, you know, he should believe in him and earn his right to his legacy.
Yeah, man. I mean, stupid idea, as you said. That this would have been, I guess, before Sandler had decided to go high concept.
Like, yeah.
Like doing a murder mystery on a cruise boat.
Yeah.
You really
picked
it up there.
But way anyway, higher concept. Yeah.
Way higher. All right. Let's elevate. Let's elevate, guys.
So this is where the Runa classic comes into play. Just right in the main premise.
All right there in the premise. All right. Mm-hmm. Ruin it.
Billy plays a incredibly wealthy child of a rich, famous businessman. And he's just kind of living the lifestyle, just like spending his dad's money, partying or whatever, and just taking it easy. And he's got nothing if he doesn't, you know, keep the business or take over the business. So he goes back to school.
I mean, it's impossible to live off of your, like, Air American Express, like, points, right?
But this is before social media, which we like to blame for a lot of things, Gaurav.
We do.
Nowadays, in 2023... Billy would already be a famous influencer with 4 million TikTok followers. He would be the rich kid who's the heir to the Madison hotel chain. He would, you know, like have endorsement deals. He'd have sponsorship money, and he would never even want to take over the hotel business. And if he did, he wouldn't like, you know, he wouldn't have to, because he'd already be maybe just as successful from, you know, wearing a t-shirt that says Nike on it when he posts, when he goes to, like, you know, he'd like book, this is what it's like to fly private, and like make a YouTube video about him flying private. And everyone would just watch that shit, and he'd be as successful as his father.
Well, I mean, why go to Harvard, put yourself through the grind, get the degree, have to work your way up, earning your stripes in the company, just to become like CEO of a bunch of hotels that you don't really care about. Now you got to manage the things that you normally stay at just for fun. That's not fun, right? And then on top of that, how much different is it a billion, right? Like when you got $1 billion running a hotel conglomerate, you don't have a lot of free time to use the private jets and stuff anyways. So what's the point? And yeah, then if you're making just like 20 million, hawking some cologne on the Insta, well then, I mean, you still got a lot of plenty of free time to use those jets. So who cares? Like who would want to, who would leave the spoils of being born into nothing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and born into just the idea of, I think it's true, right? Like, we're never going to have to see Kim Kardashian's kids on reality TV, because they will just hawk us stuff through their own Instagrams and stuff. Like, I mean, like, they won't have to, it'll be so beneath them. I'm not doing that. Ugh, my mom had to like pour herself out on E for 20 years. I'm not, no way, right? Like, gross. I'm just going to wear some Jordans and tell a photographer to take a picture of me.
So I think it's time for us to run the boomer alert. So run the boomer alert, future John, because this is going to be a big boomer episode where we totally just talk shit about the younger generation. So here it goes, guys.
Boomer detected. Boomer detected.
It is more popular to want to become an influencer these days, right? Kids don't want to be astronauts as much as they want to fucking have a killer YouTube channel.
You know what the funny part about that is, though? You always used to tell people to like follow their passions and whatever. Now, the truth is, everybody kind of has, but everybody's kind of also like looking for their way to influence through it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I really love being a chiropractor, but I'm going to become a chiropractic influencer. Right?
Yeah.
I really love real estate, so I'm going to become the guy who does the TikToks for real estate. Right? Like, the best at it. And so at a certain point in time,
Ryan Serhant is like real estate.
There's 1,000 of them, like million of them around the world right now. Like, I skip at least 50 of them every day, and like the sponsor, like, you mean, like, it's, there's more than enough of them. But it's, that's where I think social media has gotten kind of fun again, in that what these kids are now coming up against is, if you're a 12-year-old and you're like, I want to be an influencer, now I can, as a parent, point to like other influencers and be like, yeah, but like to be an influencer, you really got to find your niche. Like, you might have to become a mechanic first so that you can become like a mechanic influencer. Right? Like, it's so it's almost full circle, almost, but it's not there yet. Not there yet. Right. Eventually, every person who can sell you toxic masculinity is going to get arrested for trafficking. And eventually, every makeup artist is going to realize that they can't sell you the same tutorials 100 times. Right. Like, it's, there's only so much, hopefully. But man, it's easy to say that because I'm all high and mighty doing my podcast here.
Well, I was going to say, we can talk about this on a podcast because we're not trying to become influencers.
Yeah, right. Like, and that's...
We're not trying to become famous at all, apparently.
No, I mean, well, for one, we're 126 in, and you tell me what our fucking niche is, bro. Oh, gosh. No, I think it's as simple as you kind of will build it up, and then we'll take it down, because we're the rubberneckers of society, right? influencers are caught kind of like the online car crash. We can't look away. Like, it's we reward the ones who go way out of their way to do something that's risky and stupid. But then the second that they get caught doing it or die, we're like, why the hell was that moron doing that? They were doing it because we demanded it from them. And it's just a funny time where it's like modern gladiators, but they're influencers and they do it for likes.
And we're just getting, like, we're picking who we let become our influence way too liberally these days. Like, remember talking about Pink Sauce and Chef P? Do you remember her?
Sure.
A super toxic, super rude woman who created this Pink Sauce on TikTok. Remember we watched that video of Karamo's show where she tells her, like, customer who is just concerned about, like, if these products are safe because the label is all fucked up and the serving, like, suggestion was all weird and ingredients were all weird. And she told her, like, on the Karamo show, you don't matter. And Karamo agreed with her and then has since taken that video down because, like, it's gotten so much backlash. So she just partnered with a company called David's Gourmet. Okay. And they have created the Pink Sauce and are selling it now in Walmart. So with all her toxicity, with all the poisoning of people she did a year ago, she's now made it. She's partnered with a company. She's, like, selling a product in the biggest retail store in the world.
Well, that's...
It's the end. This is the end.
Listen, now that was something that was... What is that? Who was the meet you outside girl, right?
Oh, yeah.
And she, like, go on to, like, and what about Rebecca? Like, wasn't there the Friday? Who was the Friday girl? Right? Like, everybody cashes in on
Becca Black. Budget, yeah. Right?
Now, listen, as we talk about this, I want to put the asterisk out there. There's a huge difference between the publicity-seeking influencer whose main goal in life is to drive followers so that they can push sponsored ads to, and the person who becomes famous or goes viral via, like, sitting in the audience of a show and having a weird reaction, or being on the kiss cam at a sporting event and not doing it. Or, you know what I mean? Like, that's a different thing. That wasn't a person. For example, our beloved Popeyes guy from the meme, the little kid who's holding the drink with the side eye, like, questioning things happening in the world, in the line of the Popeyes. He is now of age to be going to college. And the good folks at Popeyes decided to give him a name and likeness sponsorship deal, because you can do that now for NCAA athletes, since this guy's going to, like, a Division II football school or something. So I thought, now isn't that fun? Popeyes, the dirty Popeyes social media account, becoming the best influencers of the week. Right?
Oh, it just keeps getting worse, right? So, did you hear about this thing with Pink Floyd? Like, when we're talking about, like, we're all just, it's the end. Have you heard about what happened here?
You just Googled the word pink and went through, like, A to Z and got from Floyd to Sauce, or, like, what's going on here? Okay.
You know, when I planned this out, I didn't even make that coincidence.
If you get into Pink Cherry after this, we got some questions.
We don't.
All right.
But have you heard this thing about what's going on with Pink Floyd? So they, to announce, like, I think it was their 50th or the 50th year anniversary of Pink Floyd, they released, like, a new logo that says, like, well, first, do you remember what Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd, the album cover, looks like? Have you ever seen it?
Like, yeah, we're talking the triangles with the rainbow. Or
triangle. Yeah, yeah. And then it, like, a beam of light that hits through a prism and then shows, like, the prism of colors.
Yeah.
So they released a 50 in a triangle and then the prism of colors inside the zero of the 50. And had a huge backlash from their fans.
Just because of the change of the... Because
of the change.
Okay.
Because they misunderstood the rainbow for thinking that Pink Floyd is now woke and like having a rainbow for like, you know, like the LGBT community and the fans Pink Floyd now.
Okay, but let's be real. They're not the fans, right? Well, fans are like, give me a fucking break. That's the same thing I've been staring at for 50 years.
People have, like, okay, we're going to talk about it in a bit, but people have been so brainwashed by media that they don't even know what's up anymore.
1973 is when that album came out, eh?
Yeah.
And it's taken people 50 years to figure out that they're woke? That the guys who said we don't need no education are fucking woke?
It's ridiculous to see.
The guys who did an entire movie that had to be like watched on acid, they're woke. No way.
That you know, like, is synced in with The Wizard of Oz, by the way.
Well, I mean, and yeah, I kind of feel like we need to go back in time to find a word that was used in the 50s and 60s and 70s to describe woke, right?
And it's all words that you can't say anymore.
No, but I was going to say, like, the euphemism in, like, the 60s would have been like, ugh, what an activist, right? Yeah. Sally's such an activist, always marching, right?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like...
What was it, so, like, granola, maybe?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, so, is great. Like, the idea of, like, what is it to, like, I don't know when woke got weaponized. Some people still use it in like such a, I'm so woke and so proud about it. And then I feel like words lose meaning. Like if somebody's trying to weaponize something and you can't weaponize it properly, you got to stop trying. Like, I think it's actually more pathetic that there's Pink Floyd. Let's be real, right? Like, these aren't people who are Pink Floyd fans. If they were, they'd have been like, how's that any different from, right? Like, it's okay. That's the same fucking cover, boys and girls, right? Like, it's not a verb, like, it's not an attack on anything, but for you to go there and make it that's just, people need to pick sides and have fun with stuff. And it really just is more the ignorance of like, well, we don't have to take you seriously. Like, in this case right now, if you are somebody who's railing against Pink Floyd, like if you are in my Facebook or Insta or whatever feeds or TikTok, and it's like, how dare they become woke now? Oh, goodness. It's kind of like, well, Billy, why would you post this? This just shows how ignorant and stupid you are that you haven't paid attention since you were born as to what that album cover even looked like, right?
I don't know why you're talking about this as if we expect that much from people, because we know that times have changed and we don't. Like, flat earthers are on the rise. It, you know, like, we're downgrading. So the reason, to go back to Billy Madison, like, why it's ruined because of society is, you know, no one wants to get that. Like, he wants to better himself, and now you don't have to. And again, that's boomer talk.
Boomer detected.
Well, okay, hold on. Is he bettering himself, or is he just trying to prove himself? Because
he does both.
Because I think a big part of the crux of that is also the idea that what he believed was like his good marks were false, right? So like, he also needs to prove to himself that he could do it, right?
Yeah. And
I don't think people try to prove anything to themselves anymore.
Yeah. Through Billy's journey, you know, he learns that he has different values and wants to be what he considers a better person through his journey. So, but it, you know, I think that's what's happening. And it's nothing new in like science fiction, and that too is like, you know, we are getting dumber, and people are starting to believe outside of the general consensus because they don't trust. And maybe we shouldn't trust, because, you know, it's got to come from somewhere, right? Like, I think we even can't trust our news outlets anymore, because they can serve us up stuff that maybe they don't even believe to try to make us think things that aren't true, or make us see a direction that they want us to see. And I think, like, you know, that happens all the time, right?
100%. 100%. I mean, I think you also get into new jams, right? Where it's kind of funny. You hear a lot of weird talk now coming out of Hollywood about, like, nepotism and stuff, right? And Tom Hanks is having to answer for his kids. And no, he is. But on one level, it's like, isn't that just how it goes? Kind of, right? Like, it's
like Kate Hudson.
Well, no, yeah, like, exact. No, but I mean, or all of Will Smith's kids, right? I think it's noble when every parent in Hollywood is like, oh, I'm going to let my kids figure out what they want to do. But if they figure out they want to do this, I think it's weird when some of them are like, oh, I would never let my kid be an actor. No, no, no. It's like, okay, you are carrying your trauma and your baggage from the shit that's happened to you during your career in Hollywood, and now you're projecting it onto your kids. That's not cool either, right? But I don't buy into this idea that it's like nepotism as much as it is. It's like locale, man. When you're born in Hollywood, Hollywood is easy for you to access, right?
Yep.
Just the way that if you are the third plumber at Joe and Sons in Kenosha, Wisconsin, like, is there some other plumber in town who should be like, I can't believe Joe's sons keep getting jobs at Joe and Sons. Right? Like,
we learn what we're exposed to, right?
Yeah, right. So it's that, but you kind of did nail something. Like, all right, like, it's how are we supposed to hold people to the flames if we can't? One of my favorites is the idea that in Canada, the richest dude in this country never gets talked about. Ever. Right? I think if you were to poll like 10 Canadians and be like, who's the richest Canadian? How much does he have? 7 out of 10 are wrong. Right?
Is Not it many. Galen?
No, you would think it's Galen. No, you'd be like, yeah, I buy a lot of groceries. Maybe you'd just be like Irving. Maybe it's John Irving. You'd be like, I buy a lot of fucking tissue paper. And you'd be like, no, it's David Thompson, who's worth like $54 billion. And you never hear about him because he owns Thomson Reuters, which is the largest news agency in the world. Right? Like, it's if it's an article and it's not from the Associated Press, it's generally from Reuters. If it's not from an actual newsroom or paper, right? Like, so you're not going to hear about him because he doesn't want to be heard about.
And the founder of Wendy's.
Oh, Dave Thomas. Right, right, right.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Right, right, right. Well, we never really heard a lot about him during his time here either, right?
He was pulling some strings.
He was doing some things, man.
Trying to make burgers square. What the fuck?
You know, I always thought it was funny that Wendy didn't even feel comfortable talking until Dave passed. Rest in peace. Just saying.
But nepotism, yeah, right? Like, again. A sign of nepotism, again.
Here's a question for you, too. Do you see Wendy in the Wendy's commercials presenting the face of Wendy? If she had social media growing up as Wendy Thomas, I doubt it. I doubt it, right? Like, I can give you a close to home sort of example. And I'm not trying to denigrate or anything, right? This is, we're not slandering the idea. I think the idea is more or less the fact that it exists, that this ecosystem exists in society where, like, people have influence for just having been born into it, like, you know what I mean? Like, Prince Harry is fucking working his ass off right now trying to break this, trying to tell everybody, guys, it's kind of silly when you worship somebody for just being born. It's silly, right? But yet we're like, I don't know. I kind of want to see what Blue Ivy's got to say. Like, when is she going to have her own Insta, right? She's 11 now, for fripe's sake. I want to know what she's thinking. That makes no sense, right? Close to home, super fan, Nav Bhatia. Bless his heart, right? Done a lot for the Sikh community in the sense of representation. You know, the Toronto Raptors are a team. They show up. He's the first guy to buy season tickets, and he's never not been courtside, right? Like, it's just, he's branded himself as the king of the super fans, right? And, like, hangs out with Drake and gets photos with all the players. But his daughter isn't the super fan. His daughter did nothing but be, like, born or, like, in this case, adopted into the family, right? Like, but she's got influence. And I'm not saying she uses it wrong or right. That's not my place to say. I think it's just an interesting case study that we live in a world where you can kind of, like, you can ride coattails in a much different way now than you ever could before. It's kind of, right? Like, Patrick Mahomes, one of the top three, probably a lot of people would say he's the best quarterback in the NFL right now. His brother seems to have no other talent than to make TikToks on the field, right? Like, now here's the difference. You've got a skill at making TikToks. So does Patrick Mahomes' brother. Patrick Mahomes' brother has one thing that you don't, John. Access to NFL players and the field in a way that the average person doesn't. So your TikToks just cannot compete with his.
No. No.
Right? So if your niche was going to be, I want to make the Kansas City Chiefs TikToks, I want to be the best at that. Good luck, because the brother of the quarterback of the team is already in that fucking role. So that's kind of becoming the problem, right? Like, it was one of these things where it became cute, right? Think about how many celebrities never joined social media off the bat. Think of how many celebrities were like, that's beneath me. But then what they saw, was George Takei becoming like famous again because of Twitter. And all these people who were celebrities that were kind of B or C list kind of got back into the conversation based on followings. Mm-hmm. And then it became like the, well, when is Jenny Aniston going to join Instagram? So even like the ground of like where these influencers live is now under attack from people that are much more powerful than, right? So I want you to put it in this perspective, right? You are a small little virtual reality company, 12 employees. You're in Toronto. You're working really hard on your software, man. And you're making strides. You're doing things that nobody's ever seen in the ground, like in the world of virtual reality. And because of that, Meta says, fuck you, we're buying, right? Good story for you. You get your money as the owner of that company and Meta gets to buy something, but there goes that one small little competitor off the map. Meta becomes bigger, takes off somebody off. We don't notice that because it's the business world. But it's the same thing that's happening in the Instagrams and the TikTok and the Snapchat world, where it's like, hey, man, remember that guy who used to do all these trick shots and he was so funny? Or that family who was at the Everly family or something, where like they make all these cool family fun videos. And like Will Smith's like, fuck you.
Yeah. Well, I remember 3 years ago listening to two young men talk about how Brie Larson can move on to YouTube and take over the platform because she's more famous already than PewDiePie is.
Right. Now, what's the difference? She could have did it with consistency.
Yeah.
With time, effort, right? Like, what Brie Larson didn't do on YouTube was she didn't work as hard as Patrick Mahomes' brother does on the side of the field. You know what I mean? Like, he puts in the time.
Yeah. She didn't expect it to actually take work.
Right. And we see it with some of these celebrity podcasters, right? Like, why are some of them good and some of them trash? You can tell. Mm-hmm. You can really tell because it's like, you know, why is Team Coco and the Conan guys so good at what they do? Because it's all they do.
Good show.
No, yeah. but it's all they do, right? They're focused on that. They're uber focused on the idea of like the show. Why are certain shows really good, even though you can tell the hosts don't put a lot of time into it? Production, the team behind it, the researching, the marketing, everything else is so polished that they can just show up and do their thing. And then there's some where it's just not cohesive, and that's why you, right? Like, it's just they're muscling out too, right? Because like, the same model applies, right? If George Takei becomes famous on Twitter and that threatens a Kanye West, so he has to join Twitter, Marc Maron becoming like the world's number one podcaster on Apple iTunes before there was an Apple Music or anything threatens the Jerry Seinfelds of the world, who are kind of like, I guess I got to go be a guest on fucking podcasts now because that's a thing, right? What pisses me off the most is probably the fact that a lot of these people are reluctantly doing it and pushing out of the way people who want to do it. Right? Yeah. Like, there's only so many chairs, right? It's like a game of musical chairs. There's only so many, and it always takes me back to that Seinfeld episode where George is like, man, maybe I should do something in sports. I could get into sports. And Jerry's like, well, they usually give that to like ex-athletes. And George is like, well, that's really not fair, right? Like, it's like, and I get that in my heart, I feel it. It's like the idea of like, why? Like, why is the guy who just played 12 years in the NHL and made $12 million over that life of playing, why is he doing a radio gig right now for $250K a year? Like, I don't care that he's bored. There's kids who are going through broadcasting school who don't have the luxury of being like, I also played in the NHL for 12 years. So well, I'm going to have a radio gig, right?
How prolific are we, right? It just goes to show that if you're listening to Can You Confirm That, you're making good choices, because we called this 3 years ago and here we are talking about it, right?
Right. And listen, folks, I didn't even have to play in the NHL for 12 years.
Yeah.
You're getting the goods right now.
I wish you had, though, because then our, you know, we'd,
oh my God,
you know, this would have a different demographic for sure if we. So do you think that, like, are we getting, so is our media, let me phrase this right. Our media, like our news outlets, sort of mentioned this before.
Yeah.
Are they telling us things that aren't true to make us dumber?
I think there is a concerted effort by all media outlets.
Like, we're going there.
Right. We're going there. This sounds kind of hokey and kind of like, oh goodness, are they about to get some pickup trucks and some FT flags out there? No, we're not going that far. But there is, I think there's a very, very simple way of tracking everything. Who owns the source of news that you're reading? That's it. Really as simple as that. Because all of it comes down to a handful of families, right? Because it's easy to be like, oh, this corporation, like Post Media is owned by, or Globe, CTV Globe Media owns this. It's, or, you know, David, well, who owns the Globe and Mail? Well, David Thompson owns Globe and Mail. Okay. So not only does he own Reuters, he owns Globe and Mail. So we're not going to hear a lot of negative shit about him. You know where you're never going to hear negative shit about Rogers? Like the Rogers family, I should say, on any of the Rogers owned properties of stations, right? There's just protective measures that are in place for specific things. Now, when something's egregious and there's just too many fucking facts out there, like even me, I could pull together all of the journalistic thread to put together a story. That's when it's like, okay, we're going to have to run it even on our own network. That happens all the time. So that's key to one. Key number two is who's benefiting, right? And what is the story is number three. And this is the key. Like this is number one. This is the biggest, even though it's listed number three, is the fact that you are going to have every outlet in the world having journalistic integrity, standards, ethics that they have to live up to. There's actually no damn choice on some of this, right? Because if you don't start living up to the code of conduct, you can be very quickly removed from it. And no longer are you a newspaper, you are a tabloid rag, right? It's a, you don't want to go from being the National Post to the National Enquirer. And it can be a very slippery slope and you can get there, right?
The Sun.
And the Toronto Sun. Boy, oh boy, nobody's fought harder in their life to be taken seriously, right? And they're a good example of what happens when the wrong people start taking things seriously, the things that shouldn't be taken seriously, right? There becomes a large part of the population that the Toronto Sun is just geared towards. And it wasn't such a big problem in the 80s and 90s when there wasn't so much concentrated ownership of the media. You had the 80s and 90s were a different time, right? You had guys who owned grocery stores who were able to buy hockey teams. The example there being Stavros, the guy who owned Nob Hill Farms, the grocery stores, also owned the Toronto Maple Leafs. Because it was actually affordable enough for a guy who just had a bunch of grocery stores. The Ottawa Senators hockey team is on sale right now, and the asking price starts at $800 million US. Galen Weston doesn't even have that kind of fucking money lying around. Like, he might. He could maybe do it alone, but that's like a big chunk of the fucking Loblaws, you know, like, fortune that he has amassed over these years. So even he's going to bring on a Ryan Reynolds, and a Ryan Reynolds is going to bring on 40 other guys, right? That's where we're at in the world of even sports, where the Seattle Kraken hockey team is owned by Jerry Bruckheimer and 17 other guys, and it cost them $2 billion. Whereas just 30 years ago in the 80s, the guy who had 9 Nob Hill Farms locations in Ontario owned the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? Like, it changes. Times change. We get that. So well, that has happened with media, right? That's happened with the media. And now that's why media has to make money. And the way they make it is every one or two articles that we're obligated to put out that are factual and truthful, we can make money putting out 8 articles that are just fluff and or advertorials.
Sensational.
Clickbait, right? The word clickbait is, it exists. Why does it exist? It's because people stopped buying newspapers because the internet existed.
Well, how do you avoid the wrong echo chambers? Like, public enemy number one right now is the metric system. Oh, how do I avoid hearing shit like that?
How do you avoid hearing about weird things like the metric system, right? I guess in our case, John, you just got to pack up and leave. Because, you know, us dirty Canadians are talking metric system all day long, every day. It is the number one issue of every nation in the world outside of the United States, Liberia, and Myanmar, where we are focused on making sure that every country in the world has metric.
3 equal superpowers.
Right. Yes. Oh, of course. Right. I think it's interesting that you bring it up. Because is this even something that we need to waste our airtime and energy doing this podcast? Like, we are committing data, actual data that's going to stay housed on a server long past where me and you are gone, and we'll be requiring like energy and coal to be burned so that this data can be saved, because we have to talk about how stupid Tucker Carlson is.
You got to do episodes like this so the people that think that the metric system is like part of the devil's work are fed out of your listenership.
I'm just saying that they're not wrong when they say the yoke of tyranny starts with metric, right? So for the background, let's go ahead and get into it. What happened is that Tucker Carlson recently went on another one of his cringeworthy fucking rants, in which he literally goes off on the metric system. And at one point calling it calograms, right? Calograms, which is a weird thing for somebody who was, who spent time in his high school years in a Swiss boarding school, not be able to pronounce, right? But let's not get too crazy about it. Now, this was all part of something that I didn't even realize existed, okay? The echo chamber didn't get to me on this. What got to me here was science. I was actually reading something that had more to do about metric. And some new changes in the universal system of blah, 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 and all this stuff. And throughout that was a link sprinkled out to like, oh yeah, by the way, Tucker did this. And that's when I was like, oh, he really took the time, like devoted airtime on television, speaking to his audience, which is the number one audience in cable news, right? But let's keep that in mind. More people are watching his shit than are watching any other news program in that country.
Yeah, I think that
tells you something, right?
As surprising as that sounds, I think the issue is viewership that's loyal watch that, but then everyone else also watches so they can comment on how fucking crazy they are all the time, right?
What did we talk about, man? It's the car crash.
Yeah.
You can't look away, right? And Tucker Carlson's created the can't look away. Like, you have to see what the nonsense he's going to say and how he's going to somehow tie in, like, kilometers being the reason that babies are being killed. Because he'll find a way. He will. Right? But that's the issue. The biggest issue is, you said, where do I get the truth and where do I get the stuff? What we're not doing is we're not being critical. And I don't think you can put the genie back in the bottle at this point. Right? Like, the snake is out of the can, or whatever you want to say here, because I can't take a bunch of people who are my age and say, hey, I think some of you guys did sleep through critical learning classes in high school. So what we're going to do is we're just going to really quickly touch on that again. For example, you read an article, and in article it says various sources at the Institute of blah, blah, blah have been recorded as saying. That's your immediate sign that that's bullshit. Right? And they used fun words like recorded as saying, but where? Who recorded it? Recorded in what diary? What register? What tape? Nobody knows. No detail was given. The various sources from the Institute. What various sources? Did you talk to the janitor? Right? Now, when you start giving yourself context clues that through your readings of the director of this department at this place, Tracy Waters, was quoted as saying, well, now we go somewhere. Now, the problem we've run into, though, is we're in 2023, where you can't even take the fucking Tracy Waters truthfully, and you might just want to right-click and Google that to be like, does that line up with her LinkedIn? Because now we're starting to make up things. So there is a big problem there. But I think the bigger problem is when you tune into something where you're expecting to hear the truth and honestly just simple facts that you are served up with this, right? Like we're at a point right now where if you tune into TMZ.com's news, they're almost too chill. They're almost a little too calm in the delivery of their entertainment news. Why? I don't know why. Maybe it's just that they know that their stuff is actually true. So they don't need to be fucking crazy about it. Like, somehow TMZ has actually done the sourcing and the fact checking. And if it's on... Listen, we went from a time and place when it used to be like, oh, it's TMZ, ha ha ha, to a point to where now, if somebody sends you something and you go, holy shit, it's on TMZ, that fucking shit's true, right? Like, they have proven themselves time and time again as, I don't want to say legit, but not wrong.
Well, okay, even worse than which not trusting yeah. Tracy Waters
yeah.
is we get people like George Santos who get into important positions in government who have completely fabricated their backstory. So now you could have a quote from someone who's supposedly an expert yep. who just fucking lied about their whole past to get the job.
Oh, goodness. And you would think there would be some better vetting in the... I don't know. When you're running for Congress, or let's say member of parliament, and you put forward a bunch of shit and say, I did this, you would think that the background check would be a little bit more intense than the job that somebody got from LinkedIn. Right? Like, even they call your references. It's strange in that case. And we take them a lot at their word, and we don't think we should. And the second is, I would prefer a more truthful approach. I think this is another thing where branding over time has kind of like led a George Santos maybe down a road where he thought he had to lie, right? Like, I'm waiting for my member of parliament who comes out and is kind of like, yeah, man, I used to boost cars till I was 16, spent 6 months in juvie. After I got out of juvie, cleaned up
people
my shit.
People will love him because he's right? honest for a change.
Not only that, we need more of them. And well, you know what I don't want in government is people who think they're better than me because they went to a specific school. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, George Santos's whole idea here is like, let me make up a lot of shit so that I seem credible and so that people realize that I'm better than them and they should have me represent them. Fuck yeah. That, man. I kind of want the village idiot representing me now. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the point where we're at is like, I trust him more.
Well,
I
think
trust
we get
somebody who's that inauthentic and stuff. Right?
I like, think we get a George Santos because we had a Donald Trump, right? The only problem with Donald Trump was we can track because he's been a public figure so long that we know where some of his lies, you know, he can't make up his poll backstory.
No, listen.
But George Santos comes from that kind of school because he created lies to get the most votes. Like, he was Jewish when it was needed to get the vote. And then he was, you know, like a, you know, favored Republican ideologies when it was popular and needed to get their votes. So he just made up the story to suit the poll.
Yeah.
Trump did that.
And I feel like that's an easy one to poke holes in too, right? It's like that John Kerry lost an entire election because he flip-flopped apparently, right?
Mm.
And now apparently it's like not even, but that stuff doesn't live as long, right?
It used to be a thing, right?
Well, no, it was also like if you got caught, like let's say you were John Kerry in 2004 and they called you a flip-flopper and they had one soundbite and they ran with that. And that's all that was on the news for an entire week. That's going to settle. Because there was nothing to chase it out of the news cycle. There was nobody was dropping a bucket of ice cold water on their head on a Tuesday morning and sending it out into the world. Like push that out of the news cycle, right? Now we live in that world where even when you put out, hey, George Santos lied about this, that's great. 6 hours from now, everybody's going to forget because a kitten just like touched a ball of yarn. Like we're good. There's other shit. So that's kind of the problem. That's kind of the issue is the constantness of it is.
The 24-hour news?
I mean, like, we live in a society now where we are living in the corrections page of a newspaper, right? I don't know if you remember back in the day, you'd have giant-ass newspapers, and on, like, the 19th page, buried in the bottom corner would be corrections. And the corrections were, like, all the mistakes that were in yesterday's print. You know, oh, we said the cat was purple in this story, it was actually blue. We said that the assailant had a knife. We meant they had a baton. We said that they had weapons of mass destruction. Turns out they didn't. Now, that last one seems like a big deal, right?
Yeah.
It's a big point. It's a big point. But it's buried still in the same part of the newspaper, right? So that's our modern day society where all this stuff happens. And sometimes we go crazy, we'll cancel somebody. And then it'll turn out we canceled them. Oops, wrong. That was a lie, right? And then but the correction never gets out there. The idea that like, hey, all that shit that we were saying about that person last week, it turns out Chris Pratt actually is a great human being. But the tweet of Chris Pratt is actually a great human being never gets the same. Like, simple fucking sociological experiment, John. Somebody sends you something evil and bad. And it's something that like will make someone else look bad. That gets forwarded 10 times. Somebody sends you a glowing message about someone. You forward that glowing message one person, right? Like it's simple as that. Like the rave reviews will never go out. The critical ones will find all of the gas. That's it. Now influencers help there. And when influencers aren't as great of heart as a Billy Madison, who wants to go back to school and better himself and become a better human being and use his influence for good, what you end up with is a bunch of influencers who then go on Instagram and say things like,
amen.
Maybe the metric system is overrated. Right?
Oh, so we're all doomed is the theme of this episode so far, right?
I think we're doomed until we all decide not to be. I don't know if you've been doing... okay, you know what? I know you haven't been because I'm the only idiot who probably has been spending time doing this lately. But I find myself kind of like in blocks where I'm just like staring away for like 10 minutes and find myself in a historic thinking like wheel kind of thing of like grand scheme of things. I know we talk about history in this way of like 1700s, George Washington did this. 1500s, you know, ooh, King Arthur, you know, oh, the Romans. And it kind of makes you think, hey, we've been around for a really fucking long time. And look how much like advancement we've done. When you really, really, really sit down to think about it, like there was barely anything that advanced from the year like 1000, like 1900. It was incremental. It was small, very, very small. Right, you went from having swords made out of rocks to swords made out of melted steel because incrementally that's as good as you could get over hundreds of fucking years. Here we are in the year 2023. And if you look back at just 100 years ago at 1923, and part of this is like if you go watch like Banshees of Inisherin, a movie that is set in 1920s Northern Ireland or wherever it is. It's that feels so much closer to 1620 than it does to 2023. So much has happened in this last 100 years. We've ended up in fucking space. We've got little computers in our pockets. Like, it's one thing to be like, oh, it takes somebody from back in time, from like the 1600s, they're going to lose their minds. Take somebody from 1930, they're going to lose their minds of like where we're at. And I don't think we as a species, as humans, as an evolutionary species, were able to keep up with it this last 100. I think that's the problem, is mentally, our brains just aren't in a place to process this at all. And we're probably going to wake up 100 years from now going, oh shit, we were fucking hung over all of the 21st century, weren't we? Right? Like, we didn't know what we had and we used it wrong. Because the atomic weapon was just 1940. And we're already at a point where, like, if you use one of those things right now, like, it's all out fucking done. We're done. We're done. Like, we can't even save Ukraine right now. Because the fear is that, well, we're going to be done, right? Because, like, Russia's going to get mad and then we're all just done.
Oh, there are...
what did we do to
ourselves? Theories out there that Putin has passed away. Have you heard these?
Sure.
We're not getting too political here, guys.
We all watch the same news, right?
I think it was on after the terror of the metric system.
Oh, right. Well, I think it was because word was that Russia had looked into going back to the imperial system. And that was the last straw for some of the Politburo over in Moscow. They were like, we gotta, you ever seen the movie with Kevin Klein? What was it? Dave? You ever seen that movie, Dave, with Kevin Klein?
Yeah.
There you go. We're probably looking at like Boris. It's not actually Vlad. It's just Boris up there right now playing the role of Vlad.
They were realizing that they wanted to bury Vlad 6 feet deep, not like 183 centimeters deep.
Right. There you go. Tucker Carlson's so funny because what he reminds me of is what happened to the rest of us in the world. Get it? Not understanding the facts makes us look stupid. And here's what has had the number one example of this. Everyone in the world. Okay, so what do you say when somebody is kind of short but overbearing? They've got what complex, John? What's the complex they've got? You know it. A Napoleon complex, right?
Oh, okay.
They got the Napoleon complex. Short guy thinks he's the fucking cock of the walk. Napoleon thought that. Here's the funny part. As a society, and we're dumb. None of us took the time to realize that the inches that the French were using were different from the inches being used in England and everywhere else. So when you record them as 5'2" in the French inch calculations, he's actually 5'8", which is to put him as average as everyone else in the world at the time.
Crazy.
So we're sitting here telling people they got a Napoleon complex. And you know what I mean? Like, you just, the next time I hear somebody say it, I'm not going to be able to bite my tongue and I'll be like, actually, what we have is an ignorance complex. Right? Like,
how tall was Genghis Khan then?
Exactly. I want to know what math they were using on him, too. I mean, Genghis Khan, friend of the show. We've had many Genghis Khan chats.
You got a complex.
Complex. Oh, that's a good one. That's essentially when you've got like enough wives, but you think you need more. Complex.
It's like a whole harem. Yeah.
Leave you on that one. No, harems. Man. Some things are great about the Mideast that just never got like carried over, you know.
And we're not, you know, we're boomers in this episode, but we're not going there.
Yeah. That's, again, let's talk histories, right? It's been less than 100 years. And all what I'm saying is, like, in the year 1820, harems were a thing, right? Like, the idea is, like, belly dancing came from somewhere, okay? Like, it wasn't some fucking pilgrim. It wasn't Pocahontas, right? Like, it's a thing from there. But to think that society, that culture, now we regard as, like, well, they're covered from head to toe. They don't even let the women drive. It's like, yeah, but how did that happen? It's the same part of the world, and it's been less than 150 years. What actions did we take to make that happen. And this is the whole idea of what we'll see from influencers in the future. I don't know. Like, who becomes the... Like, at the end of the day, it's like, we've seen it already, right? Somebody leaves their job to become a full-time influencer. And good on you if you could make it happen. But we all know that, like, the reason you were able to do that is because whatever your first sort of account or influencer account was based off of something you were doing, right? Like, but now you're going to quit the thing you were doing to do this full time. But the only reason I was watching you in the first time was because, like, I watched you for your construction videos, bro. Now you're not even doing construction. I don't know if I want to see you on yachts all the time. I was following Frankie's Construction Co. Instagram, right? I'm not following Frankie Travels. What the fuck? Right? Like,
you're just construction for recreation now.
Yeah. Like, there is a time and a place where you're going to be like, okay, you can't really do that. And I think what I'm most concerned about is the year 2042, when we're like, wow, we've got the first transgender astronaut going into space with NASA. Tell me, what made you want to be an astronaut? Well, I really just wanted to have something to be able to take to Instagram with me. Like, putting yourself through all this work. It's the opposite idea. It's to tie it back to what we talked about. It's like, imagine being a 9-year-old kid and devoting yourself to, like, baseball, just being the best fucking baseball player of all time. And then you get drafted and you play in the Major League Baseball for like 12 years. And at the end of that, when you retire, everybody's like, man, Billy, like, you had a great career. What's your takeaway from it? And Billy's like, I'm just so glad that I'm ready to be the announcer I've always wanted to be.
Or you got, like, you're up to bat, you hit an infield triple, and your camera crew runs around the bases with you, filming you as you slide into third. Like, that's what we're going to see. Yeah.
Flip it on the head, man. Like, everybody was doing their passion careers in their retirement, but everybody's going to start doing their, like, real work early so that they can get into their retirement years with their TikToks.
Well,
I don't know, man. I wish
maybe that's progress at the same time, because we're not, you know, working for the man, as it were. So I guess there's only time will tell.
Listen, I got my fingers crossed, man. If it works out and everything that we've thought about today happens, there's a good chance that guys like me and you will fall backwards into influence by trying to be the anti-influencers. essentially the JD Salingers of social media, where we've got a podcast and people are like, we would love to follow these guys if they would just fucking let us know where to.
Like, this guy hates posting selfies so much, we gotta all see his selfies.
We gotta, right? Exactly. You just, they follow you one day, and the last time they see, or the first and only time they ever see a post is literally of, like, you and you're on the deathbed, right? It's like, oh, he finally posted. Oh, he said goodbye.
Goodbye, cruel world. Is that what you mean?
Hello, Dolly. All right.
So, I mean, it got pretty dark today.
Oh, it's winter.
When it started out so optimistic, talking about young Adam Sandler in his breakout role.
Well, much like Adam Sandler's career, we've taken some twists and turns and ended up in a dark place.
Too.
Hey, man, some of his best work's happening in these dark places he's right now, right? So,
you know what, that's actually pretty true, right?
Yeah, Hustle's a great movie. Uncut Gems, great movie, right? Like, it's this discomfort that you kind of have to become comfortable with in order to become a light in the dark, if you will, John. Yeah, I'm giving you some gold here, man. You're not even fucking looking at me or anything. Okay, all right, I called you a light in the dark, but whatever, man. Whatever.
No one knows that.
Threw me off the game.
I was listening. Thank you.
That's like me when I'm like eating my french fries for an hour while you're just talking. I'm like, yeah, yeah, keep going, keep going.
Listen, everybody. Gaurav uses my chances to speak as his chance to multitask. So he's no saint.
Listen, longtime listeners know that I am a saint because we established long time early on, late in season one. And listen, you better go listen to it now if you haven't already, because you're not going to be able to soon. But I'm a hangry man. I'm a hangry man.
Right? Yeah.
There were times when I did not eat for or on this pod. And oh, man. Those were when we did get notes from listeners like, I hope you guys are actually friends.
The mean period. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a mean period. Surprise, surprise what carbs will do for you.
That's why we're going to delete that stuff. Yeah. I mean, archive. Of Ooh, course.
Right.
Maybe we'll re-release some of it someday. But we first got to remove it before we can re-release it.
Yeah, exactly. We're one step ahead of the George Lucas. It's like, we've already re-released it. Nobody knows.
So will you try pink sauce if you're at Walmart next time?
I guess it seems to have things that I don't care. Like, I mean, is dragon fruit a thing?
It's ranch now. I think that, see, the thing is, I think when Dave's Gourmet, who is the company that bought and legitimized it, took it over, they basically made a pink colored ranch. But it's at like $10, $11 or something instead of $3.
Yeah, because all I was getting is that the sauce's pink hue came from pitaya or red dragon fruit, which seems like a reason for something to be 10 or 11 bucks. But also a dumb reason to not just like use red like color dye. You
know? Yeah, it was for sure color dye. Because I've seen lots of videos of people trying to remake it based on her ingredient list. And it never worked.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty illegitimate.
All right. Next week.
Okay. Well, I think I get what Gaurav's saying. So thank you guys for tuning in to get to confirm that. And we are happy you did. So if you want more, as we've said, check out cybctpod.com. You can check out all 125 of our previous episodes there. We have a player and everything. It's pretty profesh.
It is. It's not bad. Not even templated. That was like really coded by hand, apparently, I was told.
I gotta take your word for it.
That's the word I got. All right.
So you guys have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Goodbye. Remind me to tell you later about how my child is upset with the guys at Smarties for having changed the colors of the Smarties, but not having changed the colors of the Smarties on the box of the Smarties.
Oh, continuity.
He calls it false advertising. The kid is 8. And I'm like, okay, he's got the concept down. He was really upset that the blue Smartie wasn't as vibrant as it looked on the box.
He should maybe make a couple TikToks about it. See if he can get TikTok famous.
Maybe. Give him a podcast.
I'll have him on as a guest speaker maybe next week. We'll see.
Oh, man. He'll take over my role. He does like my ranting better than I do, but he's cute about it because he's a child. I'm just not adorable enough anymore. That's all. There was a time.
And I've never been, guys.
Aw.